This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Hey, welcome everybody. It's Vision 2024. I am in the Napa Auto Care studio. Thanks to Napa for having us here. Look, if you're not a Napa Auto Care, you need to see your Napa salesman. And our goal is always to leave you a little bit better after this episode. Listen to learn just one thing. Two really good friends are here. And boy, do I love these guys. President of Elite Worldwide, Darren Barney, also Barney Brothers Off-Road and Repair, Grand Junction, Colorado. How do you do it all?
A good team.
See?
And an awesome wife.
Huh? And an awesome wife. Oh, yeah. You have an awesome wife. Yes, you do.
Could not do without her.
Yeah. Is she your confidant? And
oh, yeah.
Roll all this stuff over her? Over?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Of course.
Whew.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's no way to do it without
her. Did she ever say, Darren, you're crazy?
Do I need to answer that?
Well, she hasn't said it to us, but you can see in her eyes.
Yeah.
Joe Marconi is here, executive council member of Elite Worldwide and Fly with the Eagles.
Yeah.
God, I love that. Yeah. Whoever came up with that name?
What was Bob Cooper?
It was Cooper,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah. Great boy. Name.
Tracy became a good friend of Bob's. You know, they still email.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's great.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Great. Yeah. Excellent.
He wants to go to Italy with her for her honeymoon.
Be awesome.
I know. Thank you,
here
Bob.
We go. Here we go.
And thank you, Bob. Let's pay tribute to Bob, who has always told me every time I've ever seen her talk to Bob, he says, you haven't been to Italy? You're a disgrace.
That's Bob.
Yep.
I know. Yep. Co-owner of Auto Shop Owner, online shop owner resource. So, Joe, yes. Thank you so much for being here.
We've done
episodes together.
Oh, yeah.
Always good stuff. Napa Auto Care Centers are recognized as an integral piece to what sets Napa apart from the competition. And the Napa Auto Care brand? Well, it continues to be fully integrated into the national marketing strategy by optimizing targeted media in local markets and in proven channels. Don't forget, Napa Auto Care Centers have an online presence on Napa Online with the Auto Care Locator tool, generating millions of views per month. If you're interested in partnering with Napa Auto Care and capitalizing on America's largest network of parts and care, talk to your Napa Auto Parts sales rep today. We're at episode 900 and something.
Awesome.
Wow, I can't believe that.
That's amazing. And Town Hall Academy 300 something. I mean, we've got a lot of things going. And when it was episode 100, guys, I wrote this paper. Look at that.
Wow.
Okay. Cool. I wrote this paper. Yeah. It says 8 biggest success strategies compiled from the first 100 episodes.
Wow. Yeah.
So okay. I want to test the waters here.
Okay.
Guys,
here we go.
In no particular order, here is what those 8 are. Tell me, has time travel changed? I'd like to know this. Customer service is it.
Okay.
Put your people first.
Oh, yeah.
Processes are ridiculously critical and win wars. Training is a sustainable competitive advantage. Culture rules. Have fun. Network and expand your knowledge. Run toward technology.
Oh, yeah.
How much of that has changed, guys?
Nothing.
Nothing at all.
Yeah.
My God, those are excellent.
And then I go on to explain everyone that what I learned from the brilliant people that I've interviewed in the first 100 episodes.
Yeah.
And then I said, there's more. And so I said, so now what? Here's a few bonus thoughts. You also need to consider embracing millennials, not only into your workforce, but as customers. What about specialization, mobile diagnostics, succession planning, customer retention, new equipment, upgraded facilities, new locations, hybrids, electrical vehicles? We were talking about all that then. And our discussion point on the podcast and what you guys do as coaches, it's just, it's same stuff, but it's maturing, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
Your perspective, Darren.
Well, yeah, I agree 100% with what you just said. I mean, as to where it's going for the future, we're going to have to continue to grow and evolve and continue to push ourselves.
If out of those first 8, and I'm not sure you can remember them, but there they are. What are you guys concentrating on? It's in the bold print up there. What are you guys concentrating on?
You know, for me, first of all, Carl, I go back a number of years. And, back then, we didn't have the resources that we do today or the help. We don't know how to get help. We just did it ourselves. So for me to look at that list, that bullet list, to me, what stands out the most is culture and employees. You've got to put them first. You don't have a business unless you have a strong culture, strong leadership, and an infrastructure that really promotes the team. Without that, you can know your numbers, because I'm going to teach numbers today for 3.5 hours, but I'm going to make it a point over and over again that this is something you can learn and implement. But without the structure or the culture, you really don't have much.
So I agree 100% with Joe. I think you're missing, for me, the personal one that I think would be the top of that is personal development. Because as the leader of the company, you have to be growing and improving or your team will not grow and improve.
Oh, yeah.
So it's all about the leader.
It totally is. And I think that's where elite is personally is I want to see more focus on personal development leading. Yeah. Because once again, if that leader is not growing, your team's not growing. And so that's where we're going to continue to go in that direction.
And let me just piggyback on that because that is an unbelievable, excellent point, Darren. You see, what happens is a lot of times is the shop owner begins to develop the company. And the shop owner is developing, growing the company based upon his or her talents, her strengths. But then what happens after that is if you're not bringing, like Darren says, if you're not growing your people along with you, your business will plateau. It'll reach a certain point because you're limiting your business by your potential, your talents, and your skill level. And you can only get so far. So, yeah, that's an excellent point. And we make sure that it's not just coaching the individual. I don't coach the individual because, you know, I've had plenty of clients that tell me, well, I got to get my numbers up. I got to get my sales up. I got to get my car counts up. Whatever it is. Okay, slow down because we want to make sure that you are the leader you need to be and you're the person that's going to bring the people up around you. We got to find out about the people in the organization. Do you have the right people? Number one, are you taking care of them? Number two, are you looking out for their welfare? Because before we get to the numbers of the business, start raising whatever we got to raise.
Raise the roof, baby.
Yeah, raise the roof. We got to raise your level of leadership within the company to make sure that you have the right people, number one. And once you have the right people, are you taking care of them? That's what it's all about.
You take on a brand new client. Do you get together as a group and say, hey, I just met with this first opportunity. And on a scale of 1 to 10, we've got work to do here on personal development. And when you go to them and you sit down and says, we'd love to do this program. Here's what it looks like. Here's what we're going to do. Here's how we're going to get engaged and involved. But, and however, now we need to work on you. Let's talk about a willingness factor here.
Is that part of the vetting process?
That's what I mean. They've got to be willing.
Yes. And that's part of our salesperson, whoever that may be, has a very strict procedure that they follow when getting to know that potential client. And so we ask them all kinds of questions. We get to know them as a leader, as who they are as a person. We get to know about the business. That way we can help to know what we're dealing with. You know, we need to know what their pain points are. We need to know all of these things so that we can make sure that we assign that right coach and make sure that everybody is on board. We all know when we sign anybody on, we know what their main three focuses are. Everybody in the entire internal team will know what the three focuses of every client.
Yeah. And every client has a different
focus. Of course they
have. They're all different. Focus, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know? Like fingerprints. All different.
Oh, my goodness. And so that way the whole team is now aware of what's going on.
Do people come to you for personal development or just to fix the company?
Well, what do we say?
Are they surprised that they have to work on themselves?
Yeah, because people come to us either out of desperation or
inspiration.
Yep. Cool.
You know, so, and sometimes they don't know what they don't know. So they think that their business problem is a number problem, right, Darren?
Correct.
And really it's not. It's a people problem. It's a leadership problem.
Yep.
But the coaches will talk among themselves too. Like I recently had a coach that he got a client, brand new client, but as reviewing all the notes, he sees that he's from New York, area very close to mine, south of Albany. And that's where I am. I'm between maybe Albany and New York City.
Man, you could do visits.
So, oh yeah. Well, yeah, we can, but I don't want to interfere with my coach, what the coaches do. But he wanted to know about certain aspects of his business, like New York State inspections and does it drive a car count. So I think what I'm trying to say is that these coaches understand, they really dive deep into understanding the particular needs of that client first. And then if they have to, they'll reach out to their team of other coaches, because every single coach in the elite world is experienced in the trenches. Yes,
correct.
They're all businessmen, automotive shop owners or former shop owners, you know, so it means a lot. That aspect of it really sends home the message that you get the village when you get us.
That data discovery call that we're talking about, you know, that our salespersons do that, or the salespeople, I should say, do that. And then the coach does it as well. So then they have a 90-minute phone call where they really dive in to get to know the client better. And they ask them all kinds of questions about what they enjoy doing for their hobbies. They talk to them about all kinds of business stuff. So that way they've got their own notes that was given to them by the salesperson, the sales team. Yeah. And then the next one, then they collect their own notes along with those notes.
Yeah.
That way, I mean, once again, to help people, you need to understand what motivates them.
Exactly. You know? And Carm, you have to understand one thing too. When the client when they reach that point where they want to sign the dotted line and say, I want a coach, they want to get going. I want to get going right away. And sometimes we have to pump the brakes a little bit, right?
Yeah, of course.
I mean, because they have their own idea of where they want to go and what they need to do right away. But after these discoveries that we make, we start to sift through the real problems. And sometimes they have a great business. They just don't know it.
Yeah.
They just don't know it.
I mean, I love that.
Yeah.
They just don't know it.
Yeah. You have a great business. What are you worried about here? Okay. I see where you're.
Confidence. I mean, self-assurance. Well, what is it?
They don't know how to take it to the next level. Go ahead.
I mean, that's the thing, though, is that coach's job is to help to bring out those strengths.
Yes.
Because a lot of times when you reach out to a coach, you feel bad. You're like, oh my goodness, I don't have all the answers. I got to get to the next level. So you kind of go in and you already kind of feel bad.
Yeah.
And then a coach goes through and it's like, yeah, but look what you've done here.
Yeah.
And helps to build them up. So then they got more confidence. Yeah. They can make more better choices.
What we do is we log the accomplishments of the client.
Yes.
This way, when a client may have a bad week or bad day, he says, hold on a second. Let me just pull up this. And then I rattle off all the accomplishments. Because let me tell you something. We all know that success is not from point A to point B. You don't reach that point of success. It's the journey, right?
It's the total.
It's the plateau. Yeah, and it's the progress you made along the way. And even if you don't hit those major milestones, even if you don't have, you want to have 5 shops in 5 years, so you end up with 2 shops in 5 years, whatever it is. But it's the progress you made along the way determines the success. And sometimes clients and shop owners, who I have the highest respect for, I really do. What they do every day is just miraculous. But we have to remind them, you made a lot of progress.
It's
calm down. You know, made a lot of progress. You're okay.
It's so important, though, enough that I had a coach texting me yesterday and said, hey, this certain client is coming. Make sure that you celebrate him. He shut the shop down with his team to come down for the last 2 days. And Joe and I talked about it last night at dinner. And I said, hey, when we see this client, make sure we talk to him and celebrate him.
So cool.
So, but Joe and I wouldn't know that. But the coach texted me and said, hey, make sure that you reach out to him and celebrate him because he doesn't think it's a big deal.
Okay, I have to stop for a moment.
Okay.
There's this great series on Hulu called The Bear.
The Bear. You told me about this.
I know I told you about it. And I've written a brand new declaration of the language change in our industry.
You write it.
Because thank you. And the feedback I'm getting is off the charts.
Yeah.
Off the 99.9% shops buying in, industry buying in. And I say that because when you watch the last few episodes out of the 20, you see in these high-end restaurants what the waitstaff does to share information they hear about a client with their server.
Yeah. Oh, you have to.
Yeah.
To your point, here's a coach calling you. They're walking by. Here's a scene. They're walking by. A client says, wow, we've been to Chicago how many times and we've never had a deep dish pizza? And they're talking. Mm. And another waiter comes by and hears that. They write it on a piece of paper. They pass it to their real server. They go out, get a deep dish pizza, bring it in, carve it up, lay it out beautifully, brings it over to them, lays it out and says, we heard you've never had deep dish pizza here.
Oh, that's amazing. Wow.
That's cool.
That's what's going on with you and your coaches. Yeah. That's the connectivity.
Yeah. Yeah.
Client connectivity to what the goals or successes are. I'm sure you reach out and say, hey, thank you so much for being a client. I hear you hit your 1.2 goal this year. But those are such cool things.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, another thing too is, and this is piggybacks on what you're saying, we have coaches meetings once a month and we run these meetings and I moderate them, but I don't like to be like a speaker or it's not a monologue. You know, it has to be a whole team that's involved with this. So the last meeting, one of our coaches, Randy Pickering, he brought up a topic of how can we share best practices among the coaches for pay plans? It was so amazing. The amount of interaction afterwards, all the email exchanges that followed up of sharing all this information, it just helps the entire team. Because we really, look, our focus has to be on how can we help the client?
We're always discussing that.
What can we do better to help the client? So no one person has all the answers. I don't have all the answers.
Well, and to a shop owner that may be listening to this, why that benefits you is just that when you talk to one single coach every week,
you get them all.
You get all of them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So you've got this whole network of people that are surrounding you that there's
thousands of years of experience. You know? I love what you just said. Can I relate it to the bays and we have a problem? So we reach out to our network.
Yeah.
Huh? And so the coach has this particular issue or going on thing. And he says, you know, there's three ways I could proceed. So bring my team together and give me some ideas and answers that I could bring to my client.
Yeah, exactly.
That is just fabulous.
Well, just yesterday, there was a bunch of big discussion on one of the threads about, you know, shop software. And they're talking about this. And, you know, has anybody have an experience with this issue with the software?
Yeah.
And the whole team, everybody's writing back and
everybody's
forth.
Everybody's going back and forth.
And it's like, but that way, because I don't care how smart you think you are, you don't know all the answers. Yeah. And so when you've got that resource of all these people around you, though, that have those answers, you're good because somebody's going to have an answer.
Well, because these coaches just don't have the ego part of them is gone because they know that they, first of all, they're very successful in their own right, right?
Yes.
Okay, I made it. Yeah. Thanks for telling me I did. Now I can do this other thing.
Well, and it's just with the vetting process we put each one of our coaches through is very strict.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I could pass it. I don't know.
Tracy might. Sorry, Carl.
We put him through a personality assessment.
Listen, Monsignor.
No disrespect.
Monsignor Joe.
We start with this assessment, though. I mean, seriously.
No, I know.
It is a big deal. Yeah.
No, it's a big deal.
Like, we send them this assessment.
Yeah.
And they like, and if they don't pass the assessment, we don't even move forward.
Yeah, I get it. And so, I get it. I mean, it's critical. Listen, you're one of the most elite, no word in pun intended, coaches, coaching groups.
Well, it's like all of our coaches, though, are previous successful shop owners. Yeah, every single one of them.
Every single one. Yeah.
Okay. Personal development. So, you told me about personal development, and then I think culture was in there somewhere, right?
Yeah, of course.
And the assessment of that.
Yeah.
How hard is culture to get done in a place that it has a marginal one?
Wow.
Did they know how to touch it,
It has to start with that leader.
I get it. So you're working on that person. All of a sudden, hey, listen, we got to move to that culture piece. Oh my God, I can't touch it. I can't feel it. There's so much going on here.
Well, it depends how a number of things. The willingness of the client to accept that he has to, or she has to look in the mirror and say, the problem is me. That's the first step. If a person can't do that and say the problem starts with me, then it's going to be tough. So I've had clients that, you know, literally, like in my Eagles class, so I don't want to spoil it, but I give everybody a mirror. And that's because when you have a tough day, look in the mirror. Because most likely that person's staring back at you.
And never look in the mirror when you're naked, I was told, just a couple of days ago.
Well,
it's not a good sight.
No, not really.
As an independent repair shop owner, do you find yourself struggling with any of the following? Uncertainty about the future of your business and keeping up with the competition. Are you spending too much time managing day-to-day chaos or struggling with new employees? Do you have time keeping up with industry trends? Do you find your marketing is effective? How do your finances look? Are you reactive rather than proactive? Do you know where you should be, where you can grow, and where you should cut back? If any of those situations describe where you are today, you are finally in the right place. Repair Shop of Tomorrow is NAPA Auto Care's newest endorsed partner. They are helping shops nationwide run more profitable automotive repair shops by utilizing proven best practice marketing and coaching to leverage NAPA programs to drive quality car count, sales, and profits. RSOT will look at productivity, efficiencies, effective labor rate, average hours per car, labor profit percent, manage and measure labor, and how you can create net profit. Mike Kraft from Chelsea Tire and Service totally revamped his business. He was ready to get out, but decided to give RSOT a try. Now he has two shops with a totally revamped business. Likewise, Tom Kilmer from Grand Rapids Motor Car, RSOT helped dial in his business and focused on key points that changed his business and his life, which is all in his bottom line. Repair Shop of Tomorrow offers a tier-based program to not only generate more business today, but to transform your shop into a top-level shop of tomorrow. RSOT can teach you how to make your shop profitable, and they can teach you how to recruit and make more labor dollars for your shop. Give Repair Shop of Tomorrow a call, 440-545-1230, for a free 20-minute, no-obligation consultation.
I learned this fascinating piece of information on culture. Just a couple of weeks ago, I shared it with a bunch of friends, actually in an independent meeting in Buffalo. And I found out that someone said, oh, culture? It's just the climate of the business.
Okay.
Sure. And I'm sitting there. I got goosebumps, Darren.
Right.
Yeah.
And I stopped and I thought about it. And I presented that concept. And I said, oh, there's a tornado going on in Bay 4. That maybe because you haven't done any management walking around or listening to your people or feeling the sense of the pulse of the business, you didn't know it's flipping vehicles and toolboxes over. You might not see it, but it's going on.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Mudslide in Bay 4.
Right.
Look at the parts room.
Yeah.
It's not a sunny day. There's no sunny days here. I presented it and I said, if you want a different way to feel if culture is right and you got sunny days, and then the guy sitting next to me says, Carm, I fired a tornado 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Think about that as a way to conceivably go to someone and says, our job is to create a great climate inside of your business.
Yeah. You got the rain clouds too. You got the sunny days.
They're all, every single one of those, you know, and oh, by the way, lightning storm, power out.
Oh, yeah.
And it happens. And then finally, after I make that point about culture, yesterday we heard from Ed Milet. It was an incredible keynote. And he talked about pain. And to your point, he believes strongly that pain is a very important part of getting through life cycles.
Right.
And to feel it, overcome it. But people that feel it and then overcome it, they never want to go back. So they never grow their business or themselves.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
Right. You don't want to go back.
And think about what you do for your clients.
Right.
And say, oh my God, this is going to be uncomfortable, Joe. Got to tough through it. We're going to get this done.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, you're right, Carm. And sometimes it depends on the individual too, of how much they're willing to accept and to believe in what we're trying to bring to them. And some clients are readily, they run with it. See, a lot, when you talk about going back to culture, when you talk to some clients, they revert back to what they learned as a kid, doing things for the right reason, you know, having respect for others. Don't be the one that's always speaking. Listen a lot too. So when you speak to a lot of the clients, they get it right away. They really move fast. Other clients, and no fault to them though, they could be in a situation where they're really hurting badly with finance, with cash flow. And then we got to take a different approach. What I'm telling you, the quicker and the more you could elevate someone to become a leader, like Darren said, work on yourself. You got to work on yourself, self-development, and get them to a point where they have a strong team around them, because you're only as good as the people you assemble around you. So when they have that, then they start to move things a lot quicker.
Yeah. So why this episode? Why Darren? Why Joe? Okay. It is to hear from very successful coaches in their own right, former shop owner, current shop owner, great company and great team. You're here to listen to this, to hear what coaches are talking about, getting clients, working with clients, grooming clients, growing clients. So I so appreciate your candor, your honesty. Just to be here and to share what you're sharing, I think helps people realize, I just don't want to do this. And you know, guys, Darren, I haven't met or interviewed a top tier performer on my show in the last 9 years that can't credit getting a coach wasn't their best move they ever made in their life.
It is.
For their business.
It really is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll change your life.
And this industry is filled with great coaches and great companies.
One thing that's awesome about it.
And I'm proud to be one of those, just one of the coaches that can just give back and what I learned through the
But it's funny
like
though.
100 years that I've been around.
The thing is that Joe and I have talked about this. We both got coaching from Elite.
Yeah, I was a client of Elite.
Yeah, that's the thing is that we were both living proof of the process.
I was a client for a long time. Yeah.
Joe.
Yes.
9 years ago, you came on the first 20 or 30 shows.
Yeah.
I don't know where I found you. You were writing for somebody.
Yeah.
And you came on.
Yeah.
And you said confession to me.
I know.
It was moving. And I really got a great feel of what's this podcasting thing about. He comes in and he says, I was broke. I was in trouble. And I was thinking, oh my God, this is the beauty of the emotion and the storytelling of podcasting. Yeah. And I go back. Thank you, first of all, for giving me a chance to get your story told. Yeah. And then think of the success that you've had and what a great Osceola.
Osceola Grove.
Oh, Osceola. Yeah, I thought I knew how to say that. Yeah. On the Hudson somewhere, maybe?
Yeah, about 30 minutes, 35 minutes north of New York City.
When did you sell your shop?
December of 2021.
See, he knows that number.
Right? Oh, yeah.
Of course he does.
December 17th at 2:05.
Yeah. I love it.
Very happy day. No, no regrets. It was good. And I sold to the right person, too. Maybe he's listening. He's a friend of mine, a lot younger, and he bought my both stores. Great guy. And now he is a client. It's kind of strange coaching the person that bought my company, you know, so it's all good.
Wow.
Yeah.
What an interesting feeling.
You know, that story that I told you, and we don't have time to the whole story, but Darren pushes me to tell that story at the end of Eagles, too. So that's how I just fell apart in 1990.
Just in case. It's like the acronym show where, you know, PE, private equity.
Yeah.
Fly with the Eagles. What's it all about?
Okay, real quick. Fly with the Eagles is a 3-day intense business management course. We cover everything from leadership, financials, cost controls, marketing, employee management, and recruiting. We do everything, and we compact it.
And personal development.
And personal, I'm leadership. Sorry, I forgot about
don't forget
and
that.
Personal development. It really is a course designed for shop owners and managers, and we even get service advisors in the room too.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
Everything we learn, in my opinion, is from stories, storytelling. Yes. I don't care if it's, we're reading a book, it's the author giving you their storyline of what they believe and what they feel. Yes. Here's a concept, but the concept is steeped in stories.
Yeah. Well, if the audience is one hanging on that story, I'll tell 30-second story.
Thing. Absolutely.
Well, it's just, I spent 10 years in business just as a technician, and I was growing a business. I actually grew my business to a point where I couldn't manage it anymore, and because I was everything and didn't know the numbers. That's why I'm passionate about what I'm doing today at Vision about financial mastery. But I didn't know the numbers, didn't pay attention to the numbers. And it was a lonely Saturday afternoon where I'm trying to fix this car, and everything I did just turned wrong. And every time I turn left, turn right, I'm getting deeper and deeper into a problem, to a point where I just said, I'm done. And I can't take it anymore. And I just threw my tools down, called my wife, and she heard of my, this is like 7 o'clock on a Friday, a Saturday afternoon, and hadn't eaten that day, had no food. I was burnt. And I reached the point of burnout. I called my wife, and you know, she picked me up because she's like, you're not driving home, I'm gonna pick you up. And then, but that next day, and just, she said to me, are you ready to quit? And I says, no, I can't quit. I says, you know, I says, name is April. It says, April, I says, you know, I can fix anything that comes through the door. I just don't know what's going on. My wife tells me, that's because your focus is all wrong. You work every day fixing cars. Your business is broke and you can't fix that. Maybe you should focus on trying to learn how to fix your business. And that was it. Turned my life around. And then, so that was the quick version of that story that I told Carm many, many years ago when on the first podcast. And that story that Darren wants me to tell, you know, it's a good story.
And you should tell it. You should tell it every chance and every time you get.
Yeah. It's hard to tell that story.
Tracy knows this. There's two stories that I tell that I get so emotional that I can't even continue. The first is when I interviewed Giuliano Zuccato in episode 172. We're at 900 something, right? Yeah. And he was the sculptor, one of the sculptors in the Ford design studio for the 64 Mustang.
Wow.
Cool.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. I'm re-releasing the episode.
Nice.
Tracy said, Dad, let's polish it up. Let's go back and listen to the, because we have, technology has changed so much in all those years.
Sure.
2016, 2017, something like that. I got so close to Giuliano that when I tell the story of when I met him at Apex, we talked every week for years. Me and Giuliano. I did two episodes with him.
Yeah.
One on the Ford thing and one when he worked with Chrysler on the Crossfire in the design studio in Italy for Chrysler. He got sick. And when I tell the story about how he got sick, and the other story is our adoption story.
Oh, I heard that story.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's a great story.
And people, they need to hear that.
Oh, yeah. You're so true.
Hey, Tracy, we love you.
We do, Tracy. You're one of us. You really are. Too many tears. Oh, my God. There's not a dry eye in this room.
I know.
Are you watching this, everybody? Oh, man.
You'll have to edit this.
No. This is...
People love this is the real, authenticity.
This is real life.
That's what people love.
Storytelling is critical.
Yeah. We're human beings. You know, with AI going the way that it is, it's taken away from the emotion of
people.
And so,
oh, my God. We've heard stories about that. People asking for pictures and the stuff that's coming back at them.
Yeah.
Why would we even do that?
Right. I don't know.
Are we playing? Are we spending too much time on social media, guys?
Oh, don't even get me started.
All right.
Don't even get me started. There's a great book called The Comfort Crisis, and you should read it.
All right.
It's a life changer. In fact, I just got it for the whole team. Yeah. We're going to start it next week. I read it and it was shocking. The average person is spending 11 and a half hours per day in front of a screen. So I think that's conservative because you think about the amount of times we're on our phones scrolling because we like how it feels, right? Our brains go, wow, this feels good.
Yeah.
And then we're there looking at computer screens. We're then watching TV at night. We're 11 and a half hours. We were never designed for that.
And the young kids being brought up like that too, right?
Yeah. You fly in the airports and these kids are just like sitting there with these big padded iPads. And it's like the kid's like 2 years old and he's sitting there just.
Yeah. And you see husband and wife and the kids at a restaurant and they're all on their phones. Put the phones down.
Well, we haven't seen the long-term effects yet.
I mean,
my brain's not as sharp as it used to be because of the fact that, you know, your brain has to work so hard when you're doing social media stuff. You just focus in on it. It's just part of, we can look at anything we want to look at. Well, social media is designed to do that, to give us more of what we want to see. So what do? You spend even more time on it.
I write, you know, and I still write now for the blog for Elite every month. I don't use AI. I write it from, I do my research, old-fashioned research, and write the article.
You'll become irrelevant. You will not be able to think.
Know, if you're a writer, you can and you read AI, you can tell.
Hey, listen, are you still eating a good amount of olive oil?
Of course.
Good. Yeah. Then don't stop.
Yeah.
All right.
And the red wine, right?
They go hand in hand. Oh, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
And bread. Can you tell? Thanks for being so honest about that social media thing, Darren, because I asked another person during our recordings here, and it's interesting about the generational particular view that some of us people have, and we can't understand the insanity of it all. But then the age groups, Tracy has her opinion of it, and it's very much like ours, that it could be, it's an insanity trap. But how do we stop it? How do we get out of it?
Being aware is the biggest thing.
Yeah.
When you guys, I challenge anybody who's listening to this, any of us in this room, to just start paying attention. You get on the airplane. I noticed on the way out here how the persons next to me were both like scrolling until we took off and they didn't have Wi-Fi anymore. But it's like a big deal where I'm just like watching this lady, especially on the way here. And I'm like, what are you even watching? But it's like, if you really pay attention to how much you're on your screen all the time, look, you got a screen right there. And we're on them all day long. We were not, our bodies, God, evolution, whatever it is that you believe, we were not made to be looking at screens.
No.
We just weren't.
No.
But is it that we don't want to be unconnected?
Sure. Of course. It could be all kinds of different things.
Yeah, I think it's partly becoming addictive also.
It is.
You become addicted.
It's an addiction.
Scrolling,
it really is.
The anticipation. I think it's a...
What do you do when you want to relax? Yeah. Seriously, what do you guys all do when you want to relax? What do? You pick up your phone and you find a couch and you sit down and you scroll. That's what it is.
I'm not there yet, but maybe because of my age.
But it's something.
How about a good nap?
Right?
Sometimes, yes.
Well, a good nap is good, but you are not the majority of the people.
No.
I mean.
Well, I have, no, to your point though, maybe I'm old fashioned, but I'll pick up a book up if I'm going to relax, something I want to read about. But
Joe, you're the exception though.
I know.
I even watch my mom, you know, I love her to death, and it's like, go to her house and she'll be sitting in her recliner. She's got TV on and she's got her phone on and she's scrolling. And it's just, she's still very bright. She reads, she does all kinds of stuff too.
Yeah.
But it's getting more and more relevant. I'm seeing it everywhere.
Fear of missing out on something?
Maybe. It's your brain. You can look at whatever you want to look at. They're designed. Social dilemma, right? Where everything is designed so that you continue to see more and more of whatever it is you want to see.
Imagine the psychologists working for these companies trying to figure out how to do more and more.
It talks all about that in the Comfort Crisis book.
Really?
How the guys that were all together in this one class that then went and started Facebook, Instagram, all those things, that all were the big people that were involved in this one class that then went out and took over their world.
Yeah. Wow.
First step, though, is just realizing you start paying attention to it. So I tell my kids, you know what? I understand. You're going to look at it. I get it. But you need to start just paying attention to it. Put some screen time limits. That's what I do with my kids. I do it to myself.
I'm in the war room at Elite's headquarters.
Right.
And I'm a fly on the wall. And you got your team in there. And you say, guys, ladies, let's reinvent coaching. What's it going to look like someday?
Like I said, instead of focusing so much on business, we need to focus on the individuals. Business is huge, still important, but we have to focus on the individual. To change anything to happen, that leader has to believe that whether it's raising ARO or doing anything on that performance report, the leader has to believe it has to be changed. Because if they don't, it won't change, right?
Yeah, I agree 100%, Darren. And I think that the future of coaching has to be able to deal with the different business models. Because right now, the longer it's changed the past 10 years, there's so many different business models. That's why if you look at your KPIs that were kind of standard 10, 15 years ago, they're not standard these days. No. I'm going to talk about that later on today about everything is different. The business models are different. And you see a lot of people who are not necessarily brought up like I was. Like I started pumping gas in the gas station, worked with my father, you know, on the family car. He was in the business. You're getting people from different areas of every industry coming into this industry. So you're going to have a different clientele with different needs and different business models. The coach of the future has to be able to adapt to those different business models. So, and that's where I see it's going to be a challenge. It's going to be an opportunity for the better coaches. Yeah.
Is the weight of technology going to help in building better leaders?
Of course it will. Yeah.
I'm going to be a better leader. Do I read? Do I work with you? Do I go to seminars? Where does technology come in to help assess and evaluate it all? Help me figure this out.
We got so much. I mean, there's podcasts around, just like, you know, all the stuff that you're doing. There's so much information out there. We just have to use that time wisely.
It goes back to your point of the nonsensical scrolling.
Yeah. But I mean, we got to be focused though. And I mean, I really believe in, you guys always hear me talking about this, but I have this daily list. I even did it today of the things that were important to me today. Right. And so you have to be intentional with your learning.
Okay.
You know, so getting into Instagram's fine, whatever you want to do, but you just got to be intentional with whatever it is that you're looking into.
And why you're looking at it.
Of course, why you're looking at it.
It shouldn't be mindless.
Yeah. No. And it's so easy to do. Anytime I pick up my phone and I do it, and I watch my kids are on the team and I'm like, okay, you know, but then all of a sudden they're scrolling and looking at the emails or doing all the other things on the phone instead of looking at whatever the point was. That last night, talking to Tom about trying to figure out something for lunch today. And he gets in there and he starts going, he's like, oh man, we got another email on this guy. This is really exciting. And I'm like, we're trying to find a place to go to dinner or to lunch tomorrow.
Yeah, you remember that? Yeah, I know.
And it was like this long old discussion.
You know, it's an interesting point you bring about how does technology help the leadership and culture of the company. But there's a lot more now available to us that was not available years ago. Plus, years ago, Carm, you know, if you remember in the 60s, 70s, 80s, the business came to you. Cars broke down. Let's face it. They broke down. And you didn't have to be necessarily the best leader because it was so busy back then. Things were happening. And people, the technicians accepted it the way it was. It was just different. Now, if you don't have that leadership component, that culture component in your business, you're going to suffer. You're going to suffer in the long term. You won't grow the business that you think you that you believe you need to grow. You'll never get there. So
a little earlier, we were talking about there's a coach who has a person next in your area, but yes, you're local. Yeah. So my question about me wanting to become an elite client and all that you go through to determine where our great opportunities and challenges are going to be with that individual. How do you end up then picking the coach?
We have a coach. Yeah, we have
Go ahead. That's a good question. That's a really good question.
Yeah, we have our coach selection team.
Ah.
And we get together and we talk about it.
So you know the strengths of your coaches, what they can do. And so there's kind of, if you will, a merriment there.
We did not go even to scratch the surface of how in-depth we do with the vettings for our coaches.
Yeah.
And the same thing for the clients.
Right.
I mean, it's that involved. Because if you've got an issue with marketing, I want to make sure I'm going to give you a coach that's really good with marketing. All of our coaches are good at marketing, right? But some of them are extremely gifted, where you go and you look at their website and you do the research and like, wow, holy cow, look at this stuff this guy does.
Yeah.
And then you got a client that really needs that help with really changing and being new and forefront. And so those are just one of the factors we would look at when pairing a coach to a client.
And
so,
maybe a client needs a strong coach.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's a problem.
A hugger or a kicker.
Yeah. Because
some that's our some that's behind the behind the scenes.
That's behind.
You know, an I or a D.
I mean, it has some coaches are really good at hugging and they're emotional and they're just
and
a good
some
person.
Are very in your face and say, no, it's got to be done this way.
And even in your face is not, I don't know if that, because it's just like more like a kicker. You know, this is why we do this. Boom, boom, boom.
Well, some coaches, they're not afraid to have those very tough conversations.
Right.
And that's what it's all about. And some clients need that. They need someone on that level that says, okay, I better listen.
Yes.
I better listen.
So that original vetting is huge for both coaches and clients, but especially clients, because I want to make sure I'm going to get you somebody that's going to get you the results you're looking for.
Did you ever get a call like this? Darren, it's Carm. Joe's killing me.
Yeah.
Can you find me somebody new?
Of course we have. It's not very common. We have a pretty darn good selection process, but I have had that call and it's like, I'm just not.
It's rare though.
Yeah, it is rare.
But wouldn't you say, what is he killing you about? Because you know him, right?
But see, that's the thing though. We keep such good notes that I can go and look at any one of my coaches or clients' notes. So if I get a call from a client and he's like, hey, you know, I'm really, you know, not happy. I'm not getting the results I want for my coach. I can go and actually look at their notes and go, okay, well, the last time you guys talked, these are a few of the things that you were concerned about. Are you working on those things? And it helps me to understand where they're coming from to make sure we can, of course,
take care of the gaps.
Yeah, of course.
Usually if that happens, Carm, it's always goes back to a personality thing.
It does.
A personality thing. Usually the coach doing their job, but somehow, because let's face it, not everybody's going to click.
Yeah.
You know, not everybody's going to click. So
Is coaching going to consolidate? The only reason that I ask is all the PE stuff that's going on in the industry.
Right.
And, you know.
Yeah, but, you know, Carm, you're right. I agree with you. I think it's a great concept, but I know a lot of the other coaching companies and they're great guys. They really are. They're great guys in their own right, but they do things a lot differently. And I listen to them, I read about them, and because I want to learn what everybody else is doing. And they do things slightly different than we do.
Everybody seems to.
Yeah.
And that's, so, that's where and you, that's good.
Yeah.
There's all these different strengths out there.
Yeah. I think you need the infrastructure of the coaching the way it is today that, you know, like one company will do one certain way. Another company, like one company, I'm not going to mention names. I don't think it's proper, but one company is really has a good team to help them multiple shops. You know, you want to grow. And that's, so you want to go to that type of coaching company. So I think that you can have all, can't be, everybody's going to fit in the same category. Yep. It's not going to happen. So I think that the way the coaching is set up these days, there's a lot of great companies out there. I give them a tip my hat to them because they're doing a great job. And I think that we need that because there is so many shops out there that need help. So many shops.
Okay. Yeah. How many shops are out there that need coaching? Just give me a number.
Oh my
50,000, 100,000?
All.
Yeah.
All.
Yeah, all.
Yeah, but the bottom feeders don't. No. Well, but all.
Yeah,
I get it.
Yeah, but Colin, those guys on the bottom, I could say, yeah, I was once one of those.
I love your passion.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, you don't know who you're going to turn around. We have, I want to mention his name because Servando Orozco. Maybe he's listening.
Yeah, I know. Servando,
I mean, he was
a great man.
If you look at him 20 years ago, you would say, this guy's, he's the bottom of the barrel. I mean, really?
He was living in a bathroom in a gas station.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's the honest
truth. He's out in California, right?
Yeah, California.
Yeah, we call him King of Long Beach.
He's the King of Long Beach.
Yeah.
Now he has five or six shops.
Yeah. He's the franchise guy, right?
He's planning on.
I've interviewed him.
Yeah.
He's so awesome.
And Servando is like the, if it wasn't, and he went to a fight with the Eagles years ago. And at the end of the Eagles, you're supposed to say what you've learned or what your next move is at the very end. So he got up and says, he pointed to one of the coaches in the room, Jim Pereno, and says, he's going to be my coach. Just like that. Not Willie. He's going to be my coach. And the rest is history. This guy is, he wants, his goal is 10 shops in the next 5 years.
Yeah,
and he plans to hand it over to his son. So everybody needs a coach.
Besides Fly with Eagles, what other kind of real specialty courses do you have?
Oh, goodness. Yeah. Fly with Eagles is the biggest one that shop owners get to go to. I mean, we still do Masters, of course. We have a big event coming up in January of next year. We got a lot of stuff going on.
How long have you been doing Eagles?
I don't know.
Did you and Kevin write this? I mean, where did it come from? Did Cooper do this?
Cooper started it.
All right.
But then Joe has taken it to a whole nother level. It's just taken it, and then he's always changing it. In fact, we'll talk about it. And he's like, well, I'm thinking about changing this to this. I'm like, great, Joe, whatever you want to do.
Did you go to Cooper and say, give me this Eagles thing?
No.
Oh, well, how did you get it?
That's a funny story. You got time?
Yeah.
We were doing We would do
as long as there's no crying.
Right?
Yeah. No crying. It's not a crying story. This is a good story. So Bob calls me up one day, and I just started working with him, doing some minor coaching. I still had my shop, and he said that there's a company, has a lot of stores, big company, a big nationwide. I can't mention the name. They need help because this company, by the way, wasn't an aftermarket company. It was a company. They wanted to find out why the aftermarket is so successful with their sales, like selling brakes and selling alignments and tires. And they can sell at a much higher price to the customer than they can. And they're a national chain. So the thing was, and to shorten this up a little bit, we did a survey of a mystery shopping survey of maybe six or seven stores in the Midwest area. And then we put on a presentation. Bob and I go back to the hotel and we spend hours developing a PowerPoint presentation for the next day to present this to the big higher ups of this company. I mean, the people that they're the decision makers.
Your research.
Yeah. So Bob was doing the presentation, but Bob gets about an hour and a half, 2 hours into the presentation. And some of the people are asking him operational questions about this, about that, he's looking at me. And I says, well, Bob, want me to answer that question? So I says, yeah. He says, so I stood up. No, I was sitting down. He says, no, stand up. I stood up and I started answering the question. Then another top CEO asked me another question. Another guy. So before you know it, like I'm organizing the room. So
you're rocking.
Yes. And then I asked, any more questions on this topic? Everybody was silent. So then I sit down. I goes, Bob says, no. He shakes his head and says, no. He hands me the presentation mouse, the clicker, and says, I want you to finish the presentation.
I love it.
Yeah. I says,
You were on fire.
So I finished the presentation, and afterwards he says, we got to put you in front of people like that.
It's wow.
So I says, really? I says, Bob.
He saw your gift.
Well, I says, Bob, I says, look, you speak one way and I speak another way. So how's that going to work?
But oh, then, my God. I mean, I get that. I get why you would be, no, I can't fill those shoes.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, Bob, is, I mean, he's a professional speaker.
Yeah.
And from there, he put like 3-hour presentations together for me to do and this and that. Then I co-presented the Eagles with him. And then from there, I did it my own. But like Darren said, I had to make it my own. I really did because I can't be Bob Cooper. I can't be anybody.
And he does.
I can't be Darren Barney. Yeah. I have to be myself. So,
are you part of Eagles, Darren?
When I help out when I'm there, but Joe does it. Joe and Kevin.
Kevin Vaught.
Yeah. He's been on the show. Great. Yeah.
Great guy.
Well, you know what? I learned a lot. This was great. It was a lot of fun. I have 30 more questions to ask, but I just want to give our listener, leave them with a lot more than they came to start with, learn to listen just one thing. And if you learned anything or you're motivated, please go do something about it.
Yeah.
Darren Barney, President Elite Worldwide and Barney Brothers Off-Road. How's the business?
Good.
That's good. Yeah, good. Grand Junction, Colorado. Did you move the headquarters to Grand Junction?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Everything's there?
Yeah.
Cool.
So, I mean, everybody's remote. So,
yeah, I get it.
We even have coaches now in Canada. So, it's cool.
Yeah. Nice.
We got clients in Barbados, even.
Yeah.
What an excuse you need.
I know, right? And he even came to Eagles.
He came to Eagles.
Yeah, I got to go. I got to go to Barbados to see a client.
Yeah, I got to see a client in Barbados. I'll be back in a week or two.
Exactly.
You're killing me. Joe Marconi's here, Executive Council Member, Elite Worldwide. And co-owner of Auto Shop, owner of the online shop owner's resource. Thank you.
Thank you.
Guys, thanks so much.
Oh, thank you.
It was great being here. Thanks. Thank you.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.